Good morning. This meeting of the Federal Election Commission for Thursday, March 27th, 2025 will come to order. We are here this morning for the audit hearing for John Curtis for Utah, A23-03. And just to give, kind of set the framework for what I want to do here, I'd like to have an opening statement from counsel for the committee, and then I'll have an opening statement from the Office of General Counsel, and then we will open it up to questions and comments from commissioners for either of the two sides. And then to the extent that the committee wishes, we will have an opportunity for a closing statement. So with that, counsel for the committee, you're recognized. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Acting Chairman. Thank you, commissioners and commission staff, for allowing me to come in and talk with you today. I think the issues, the items that are still at issue are of relatively minor importance, but I did want to make sure that since this has been a lengthy process that my client had an opportunity to be heard and that you all had an opportunity to ask questions regarding the two outstanding issues. The first item that's still at issue is related to five LLC contributions. The interim audit report had instructed the committee to provide documentation from the contributor stating how the entity elected to be treated for tax purposes with the IRS at the time the contribution was made and how the contribution is permissibly attributed. No reference was made in the interim audit report to producing documentation about whether there were publicly traded shares. The committee produced documentation as instructed in the interim audit report. FEC audit staff and OGC are now saying that the committee's documentation is inadequate because it does not address publicly traded shares of each of the LLC contributors. This is a new instruction, but we respectfully note that the documentation submitted by the committee does, in fact, address whether there are publicly traded shares. Each of the forms invites the LLC to list all of its owners or partners. Each of the contributing LLCs did list between one and three owners. That on its face indicates that there were not publicly traded shares. FEC audit staff and OGC now seem to suggest that there should be an affirmative, there should have been on the form that the committee used to interact with its contributors, that there should have been a specific reference to publicly traded shares. We respectfully disagree. We think that on the face of the form, the eligibility of each LLC contributor is already apparent. And to the extent there was a flaw in the form, we would note that the committee didn't have the advantage of committees now, which the commission has now it is now in the process and has issued an official form. We would certainly use that moving forward, as the form that was issued in January. So we would anticipate using that moving forward, but we didn't have the advantage of that in the past. So that's one issue. The other issue that's, I think, still outstanding is that related to three signed reattribution letters from credit card contributions. The interim audit report invited the committee to submit documentation related to these contributions. The committee did so, submitted signed statements from three married couples indicating that the contributions were, quote, sourced from a joint account in both our names. The draft final audit report presented an analysis that is redacted, but from what we can tell, the committee understands that we are now to produce either a billing statement or a copy of a transaction slip. The committee's position that this is unnecessary, that this is essentially backup information to the backup information that we already provided. And since the the donors indicated in a signed statement that they intended at the time to make a joint contribution, that they're a married couple, that the contribution was sourced from an account in both their names, that this would be sufficient documentation. So those are the two issues, I believe, that are outstanding. I very much appreciate, and the committee appreciates, the professionalism of FEC audit staff and OGC throughout this process. I think I'm happy to answer any questions or address any issues that the commissioners see, but those are the two outstanding issues and the committee's position on both of those outstanding issues.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Sanderson. We'll now hear from the Office of General Counsel.
Thank you, Mr. Acting Chair. Consistent with the audit hearing policy to allow the committee to present its argument, OGC has not prepared an opening statement.
Okay. Then we will open it up for questions and comments from commissioners. Commissioner Lindebaum.
Thank you. And thank you, Mr. Sanderson, for bringing this to our attention and for asking for this hearing. Oftentimes, it's a good way to air some of the questions that may exist. As everyone knows, the audit process is lengthy right now. Thankfully, it will be shortened quite a bit once our new audit procedures go into place. There are different points that we do different things, which may or may not make any sense. But again, thankfully for all of us, that will be changing. So your arguments are all very well taken. I think my first question, though, is really to OGC on if there are any positions that OGC has changed since the request for this audit hearing.
Thank you, Commissioner. Yes, we have OGC's position will change with regards to the reattribution and the documentation on the credit card accounts. So we will change that position. However, in as to the reasoning for why we would change, because that would involve legal advice, we would ask that we do that either in executive session or at a later stage.
Thank you. So I think I understand that there are different issues on legal advice and what we can and cannot say here. I will say somebody can stop me if I say my perspective on what the rule is and the law is here. I think it's incredibly clear that when we are doing a reattribution, all we need is the letter from the contributors that sign it and say that it is to be split between the married couple. When we have that, we don't need the credit card information or the proof through the credit card. The credit card proof is necessary for a presumptive attribution. And that, I think, is very clear in our laws and regulations. And again, thank you for raising the issue. I understand it is time consuming and expensive to pay for your time to bring that up, but I appreciate it. And hopefully now that it will be clear. But again, it's good for this to happen in sunlight so that the regulated community knows what the rules are as we go. Now to pass it to my colleagues.
Commissioner Dickerson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess just a follow-up question. The statement was that the position of OGC would change. What will the new position be? And you don't need to get into the reasoning, but what's the final outcome?
Mr. Chairman, OGC, after further reflection, concludes that the documentation provided for the reattribution was sufficient. Our understanding is that those contributions were resolved as a result, but untimely so.
Thank you.
Commissioner Broussard.
Thank you. My question, let me join Mr. Sanderson. Thank you for the request and thank you for being available for today. I will join Commissioner Lindenbaum in that these things are time consuming, but they are educational. and do help the public in regard. So thank you, sir. I have a question regarding the first finding. And the first finding, and we're dealing an issue that's come up is the request regarding publicly traded and whether the LLCs, and there's been a request for information in regards to that. Does the committee have information to verify that the LLCs are not publicly traded?
I think the commission's position or the committee's position, is that we have already presented evidence that there are not publicly traded shares. The publicly traded company would definitionally have shareholders, many shareholders, many owners. And so we invited each of the LLC contributors to list all the owners. Some listed one, some listed up to three. And that demonstrates on its face that the LLCs do not have publicly traded shares. So I think our position is that we have already presented that information. And I understand that audit staff and OGC are asking us to, or suggesting that we should have asked point blank whether the LLC has publicly traded shares. But I think I'd say two things about that. One is that that wasn't the instruction from the interim audit report. And two, that it's not required under the rule. We would have the benefit now, moving forward, we will use the model form that's been issued by the commission. We appreciate that being put out there. But I think from our perspective, we have gone back to these donors to get proof. We have presented that proof that there are not publicly traded shares for the LLC. And so our position is that we have checked that box. We have fulfilled that obligation, even though we might have not done it in the exact way that FEC audit staff and OGC would prefer.
Go ahead, Commissioner Pichard.
Thank you, sir. I may come back to that question, but I want to ask you about the WoodSprings LLC, if I may. For WoodSprings, the contribution must be attributed to one or more members. All it mentions on your form is member. If one or more of those members are non-human entities, can you provide information regarding their eligibility to make contributions?
Yes, I think for the WoodSprings LLC, that is one contribution that we would, if the commission permits it, we would go back to that because that documentation does not indicate that it's attributable to an individual. So I would personally put that in a different category than the other four LLC contributions that we submitted documentation for.
And thank you. So I understand we can expect to receive that information.
Yes, if at this point in the process we're able to go back to that particular donor, I think we would attempt to do so.
Yep. Thank you.
Commissioner Lindebaum.
Thank you. And thank you to Commissioner Broussard for bringing that one up. I think that's an incredibly important point, and is, as you said, is a different bucket than the other matters where with those LLCs we're seeing clearly that they are not publicly traded. And I think we are all in agreement that partnerships are eligible to contribute so long as they are taxed as a partnership, right? So that is clear everywhere. And I look back at, well, I don't want to get into any kind of IRS code issues because they could make us all a little bit crazy, but they do have a provision 7704 that says very clearly that a publicly traded partnership shall be treated as a corporation. So you either have a partnership or a corporation, and that is what we care about. Our regs are interesting. I don't know what was happening in 1999. I've tried to figure it out, and it can be very hard to tell. But we do have a reg that does say that an LLC that elects to be treated as a corporation or with publicly traded shares is considered a corporation, which kind of to me sounds like you could be a partnership. You could be taxed as a partnership, but have but also be publicly traded. Do you have any sense of if that could happen, or if any corporation that is has publicly traded shares is going to be a corporation?
My understanding, and I'm not a corporate attorney, but my understanding in consulting with a few people is that that it is more of a, if a LLC elects to be treated as a partnership, that that would take off the table publicly traded shares. I think from my understanding, perhaps it would be theoretically possible to be treated as a, but to elect to be treated as a partnership for tax purposes and still issue shares at, you know, during a tax year and still get the initial partnership tax treatment, but that would be exceedingly rare. And so I think I didn't articulate this in our response to the draft audit, final audit report, but I think that's another thumb on the scale of us demonstrate the committee demonstrating that these were not, that the LLC, four LLC contributors here, did not have publicly traded shares. The fact that they indicated expressly that they had elected to be treated as a partnership.
Thank you. And that's my understanding as well here. I think your form, the compliance form was sufficient. It's similar to ones that have been used in the past. And now we do have this great new LLC sample form that the regulated community can use, that where the checkbox does say corporation or publicly traded shares, to make that a bit more clear. But I agree. I think that the documentation that you've provided here is quite clear, and I think should be accepted that it is should be considered a partnership that can make contributions. I have been told that I am not permitted to make a motion during this hearing, but I will say that the motion that I would have made would be to direct audit to accept the LLC's assertions in their donor forms that they're taxed as a partnership, to establish their eligibility to contribute, with the exception of the Woodshed one, which I think is still outstanding and needs to be resolved.
Commissioner Dickerson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not to belabor it, I would have voted for that motion had it been made. I received the same advice on whether I was permitted to make a motion, which would have been slightly different from yours, in that just while we're giving our opinions, I think the text of 110.1G2 is unambiguous in saying that if your LLC is treated as a partnership, then you're a partnership. And so this question of whether you have LLC owners of a partnership that is itself taxed as a partnership, like I don't see where the regulation permits us to pierce that veil and go down that sort of complicated tax treatment question. So I don't know where we'll land on this because we're not making the motion, but in my view, all of these, including the one mentioned by my colleague, fall within the plain text of 110.1G2. And I'm very grateful for counsel for bringing this up and briefing this for us.
Thank you. Mr. Sanderson, just to be clear, you engaged in all of the activity that was recommended in the initial audit report with regard to tracking down these LLC contributions, correct?
I'm sorry, what do you mean?
So when the interim audit report came out, you engaged in everything that was recommended with regard to going to track down these LLC contributions?
Yes, I, along with the treasurer, reached out to the donors that were instructed, that we were instructed to line up additional proof for. Yeah.
Great, thank you. Okay, seeing no other questions or comments, Mr. Sanderson, you're recognized to close.
I do not have a closing statement other than to say thank you all very much for your time. I appreciate it. I am available for any questions moving forward by writing or have whichever process the commission deems fit. But I appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Anderson. This will conclude the audit hearing. And we're going to take about a 5-minute break because the public feed is also on the same feed. So we need to reset for the open meeting. So we're going to take about a 5-minute break, but this audit hearing will stand adjourned.